With a news update on 99.7 1450 WHTC, I'm Gary Stevens. An argument between a married couple from Grand Haven outside of a fast food restaurant on Holland's East Side on Monday afternoon ended with the husband succumbing on a hospital bed. According to Department of Public Safety Captain of Administrative Services Bob Bersma, the 45-year-old man and his 44-year-old wife were having a dispute inside of their sedan around 12:30 p.m. while the vehicle was parked outside of the Wendy's off of East 16th Street. The man stepped out of the sedan, whereupon the woman, who was behind the wheel, locked the door behind him and started to drive out. The man then jumped onto the hood, but was thrown off as the woman turned onto a private roadway and his head struck the pavement. The husband, Robert Baltazar Leon, was taken to Corwell Zealand Hospital, where he died several hours later of his injuries, while the wife was unhurt. The incident now remains under investigation, and anyone with any information on the matter is asked to contact the Holland Department of Public Safety or Ottawa County Silent Observer. The issue of affordable housing has been a primary concern of local leaders for several years. The issue of fair housing hasn't received as much attention. That may be about to change somewhat, as the Holland City Council is slated during its biweekly study session this evening to review an assessment of fair housing report done in conjunction with suburban Detroit-based planning and building services firm McKenna. The retained consultants went over data and conducted a public workshop last May, along with contacting leading stakeholders before submitting its findings late last year. Among the major conclusions this report came to are these. There are racial disparities in housing access, unequal representation in publicly supported housing, limited housing options for families with children, and accessibility and accommodations for individuals and households with disabilities. The report's authors believe that addressing these impediments will require a comprehensive and targeted approach through collaborative efforts. The Holland City Council study session begins at 6 p.m. in the second floor training room of Holland City Hall off of River Avenue. An online link to the agenda and supporting documents is in this story at WHTC.com. It has been a whirlwind past 2 months or so for Eric DeBoer. At the beginning of this year, he was just an Ottawa County Sheriff's Sergeant in the Road Patrol Division. Since then, he was tabbed to replace retiring Valerie Weiss as undersheriff, and then threw his hat into the ring for county sheriff with the announcement that Steve Kempker is opting not to run for a third four-year term. Kempker used his own experience in being named undersheriff by Gary Rosma before succeeding Rosma as sheriff following winning the 2016 general election.
You know, I had to look for somebody that, has a lot of good qualities. Somebody that is going to even forward the momentum within the agency in the future. Somebody that's got really kind of a really good open mind as to ideas in that. Where we are going to go, because we are growing as a county and as a sheriff's office. And I feel extremely comfortable, and it's a position where he's going to oversee a lot. He's going to do a lot, but very fast learner, very forward thinking, and really cares about, the culture of our county and our agency.
The sudden promotion to the number two role in the Sheriff's Department ahead of those lieutenants and captains that he had once been answerable to hasn't fazed DeBoer.
I was concerned that there might be some, some awkwardness with it, but I can't understate or I can't overstate the amount of support I felt from our command unit, our executive team. To your point, it wasn't 2 years ago, I was answering to Captain Sparks from the investigative unit when I was a detective, and now I'm the undersheriff. But to a person, each one of them has been unbelievably supportive, getting me up to speed, helping me understand, the parts of the department that I didn't come up in, and knowing that I support the units that I was a part of as well, and not looking to undercut any of those people. But yeah, I mean, like anything else new, it's it's a learning curve, but they've been very gracious with me.
With the filing deadline of April 23rd ahead, DeBoer is, as of this moment, being challenged in the August 6th primary election by interim county administrator John Anderson for the Republican nomination for sheriff. Grand Rapids policeman Michael Maycroft has pulled his name from consideration, and no Democrat is listed at this point. A 25-year-old man in the U.S. illegally has purportedly admitted to shooting his girlfriend several times and then leaving her on U.S. 131 to die on Friday night. Kent County Prosecutor Chris Becker says Brandon Ortiz-Vite has been charged with open murder in the death of 25-year-old Ruby Garcia, and bond has been denied.
Luis Fabian, who was, we had this exact same, it was almost the exact same thing. It was a homicide last May in the city of Grand Rapids in a vehicle when he was, there was a child transfer. So this is the second case in under a year where we've had a similar circumstance.
Ortiz Veit called 911 on Sunday from a church in Allegan County to surrender, and Garcia's vehicle was found near South Haven with bloodstains and bullet holes inside. Ortiz Veit had been deported in 2020 to Mexico after a drunk driving arrest in Grand Rapids. At 5 p.m. this coming Sunday, northbound U.S. 131 will be closing for a month at 28th Street, creating motoring issues for thousands of drivers, and among them, first responders. Firefighters are warning it could impact response times. Grand Rapids Fire Department Captain Bill Smith says drivers need to be mindful and alert to emergency vehicles. They will have access to U.S. 131 if necessary, but will also be using alternative routes. U.S. Energy Secretary and former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm says the Biden administration has a new pilot program to get battery plant workers certified in the state. She discussed the program in Lansing yesterday, as she was flanked by Governor Gretchen Whitmer, Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin, and Acting Labor Secretary Julie Sue in an appearance at a United Auto Workers Hall.
We want these consumers to buy the cars that the UAW is making. And so therefore, every consumer now, again, because of this agenda, is able to get a $7,500 tax credit off at the dealer if the car is made in America.
Granholm says the program is to make sure there are trained workers available when future battery plants come online, noting sales of electric vehicles powered by batteries have been slower than projected, but adds she expects those sales to be up as much as 30% this year. Meanwhile, Slotkin, a suburban Detroit representative who was the presumptive Democratic nominee for the U.S. Senate seat that Debbie Stabenow is retiring from at year's end, was asked if the Biden administration is trying to get rid of vehicles with internal combustion engines.
No, I think it's about choice, and I think it's about watching a place like China go absolutely crazy, subsidize this huge industry of electric vehicles. We're watching them build that next generation. So you either get in the game or you sit on your hands.
Granholm repeated her message following a tour of Holland's LG Energy Solutions electric vehicle battery plant. LG Energy is in the middle of a $3 billion expansion of the East 48th Street facility. The U.S. Coast Guard's icebreaking operations on the Great Lakes over for the year. Taconite wrapped up yesterday as ice cover on the Great Lakes peaked on February 4th at 23.35%. Six Coast Guard icebreakers delivered icebreaking help to 52 vessels this winter. 18 of those required direct icebreaking help to ensure a commercial vehicle was safe. Officials say $67 million worth of cargo needed for power generation, public safety, and industrial productivity were assisted in a 76-day session. Preparations continue for the NFL draft in Detroit, which is about a month away. City officials held a press conference yesterday outlining where the major part of the draft will be held in downtown Detroit. Mayor Mike Duggan says it's important for those coming to the Motor City to be able to enjoy what Detroit has to offer.
We think the long-term benefit to this city, to have people, our 300,000 or 400,000 or 500,000 visitors, see the streets of Detroit, walk the river walk, the USA Today says is the best in the country, to have them experience that, we decided was worth it.
Crews have been shutting down streets around campus, Marshes Park, and Cadillac Square for the setup. Duggan says the city's approach will be judged after the draft is over, but believes having many events downtown is the best way to promote the Motor City. There have been many changes to Detroit since Super Bowl Extra Large XL was held in 2006, and that's what city officials are looking to highlight. The NFL draft will be free for all visitors, but some of the events will be requiring a download of a QR code to get in. Dylan Strome's second goal of the game, coming 1:55 into overtime, lifted the Washington Capitals past the visiting Red Wings last night 4-3. Detroit skates in Raleigh against the Carolina Hurricanes tomorrow evening, with broadcast time around 7:15 p.m. following the Tigers' season opener against the White Sox on 99.7 1450 WHTC. Jason Dickinson scored twice as the Blackhawks topped the visiting Calgary Flames at the United Center last night 3-1. Chicago skates in Ottawa against the Senators tomorrow evening. NBA action tonight finds the Detroit Pistons in Minneapolis against the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Bulls home to the Indiana Pacers at the United Center in Chicago. Spring training ended yesterday with the Detroit Tigers playing a 3-3 tie with the Tampa Bay Rays and the Chicago Cubs losing to the St. Louis Cardinals 7-2. Regular season play begins tomorrow as the Tigers meet the White Sox in Chicago with broadcast time at 3:45 p.m. on 99.7 1450 WHTC, and the Cubs take on the Texas Rangers in Arlington. The Griffins welcome the Cleveland Monsters to Van Andel Arena in Grand Rapids this evening. Davion Warren came off the bench to tally 33 points as the Long Island Nets defeated the visiting gold in Uniondale, New York last night 127-94. Grand Rapids hosts the Cleveland Charge at Van Andel Arena tomorrow evening. In Pro Volleyball Federation action last night at Las Vegas, Emilia Dimitrova had 21 kills as the Rise beat the host Vegas Thrills in four sets. Grand Rapids takes on the Supernovas in Omaha tomorrow evening. Get the latest news anytime at WHTC.com.